Grab your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 11, verse 9. We are continuing with the snapshot of Acts series. Acts is after John, before Romans. I've heard how Nolan describes it a few times, but I can't keep up with that. So does everybody remember Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts and the letters to the Romans? That's how you find Acts. That's how I do, at least. So Acts chapter 11. Verse 19, and you got to say amen when you get there so I know when to start reading. Amen. Now those who were scattered as a result of the trouble that occurred because of Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. They proclaimed the word only to Jews. Among them were some people from Cyprus and Cyrene. They entered Antioch and begin to proclaim the good news about the Lord Jesus also to Jews who spoke Greek. The Lord's power was with them, and a large number came to believe and turn to the Lord. When the church in Jerusalem heard about this, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw evidence of God's grace, he was overjoyed and encouraged by everyone to remain fully committed to the Lord. Barnabas responded in this way because he was a good man whom the Holy Spirit had endowed with exceptional faith. A considerable number of people were added to the Lord. Barnabas went to Tarsus in search of Saul. When he found him, he brought him to Antioch. They were there for a whole year, meeting with the church and teaching large numbers of people. It was in Antioch where the disciples were first labeled Christians. About that time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, Agabus, stood up and, inspired by the Holy Spirit, predicted that a severe famine would overtake the entire Roman world. This occurred during Claudius's rule. The disciples decided they would send support to the brothers and sisters in Judea. With everyone contributing to this ministry according to each person's abundance, they sent Barnabas and Saul to take this gift to the elders. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Okay. Before we get started, I need everybody to just kind of wiggle in their seat a little bit. Go a little side to side and get comfortable. In case I go long, I don't want you complaining, okay? So get comfortable. Second, just another thing I want to point out. Nolan's been warning me about this since I got here, that we wear robes. So I'm uncomfortable in a robe. But I'm having to learn that when you sit down in a robe and stand up quickly, you need to make sure you're not standing on the hem of the robe as well. That's new to me. But as punishment, I made the boys wear robes too. So we're good. I was supposed to get off at 2 o'clock last night. That was my intention. I was going to take off early, get some sleep, and come in refreshed. But at 2 o'clock last night, my guys were tied up a little bit, and I was just hanging out to make sure they got freed up. And I said, okay, I'll leave at 3. But right around 2 o'clock, a fight call came out. And I was the only one that wasn't already on another call, so I went flying down there, and I got there, and some people had left the floor of Bama, and they were trying to walk home the responsible way. And when I got there, my whole opinion was, these people have been drinking, I'm just going to tell them, you know, bad luck. Have a great evening. I got to go. And when I got there, I found out that it was 3 Alabama guys that beat up this LSU guy. So I really was like, you know, oh well. But the witnesses on scene said the 3 Alabama guys, ran down the road. So about that time, another officer and his rookie showed up. So I kept the rookie with me, and I sent my officer down the road 2 or 3 condos and said, just go down there and check. This whole time, I'm trying to wrap this up so I can go home and go to bed. It wasn't 2 minutes later. The officer I sent down to the other condo calls on the radio screaming, "I got three of them and they're running." So me and my rookie that's with me, we jump in the car, we go flying down, we pull into a condo, we screech on the brakes, we jump out, we go sprinting over to my other officer. He's on the ground with one in handcuffs and says, "They went this way." We take off running. So it was a foot chase and we're searching everywhere. I get my other officer there and we have a dog. He has a canine. We get the canine out. We get a dog bite, which was just fantastic. And I mean, it was what I lived for as a police officer, right? I mean, this is police work and it was great. And then I looked at my watch and it was 5 o'clock and I was like, but I could talk about it all day. Anybody want to talk about it? Man, I was so excited last night. Meet me after church. We'll talk about it until it's nap time. Okay. But this is the first passage I've been assigned saying, "I want you to preach about this." And I've been kind of trying to find my place with this passage. And this morning, as I was coming home, it just kind of struck me that my excitement about police work and their excitement about the church and God in Antioch are pretty similar. Because I know there's a few people in here that like hunting and fishing, right? You can raise your hand, it's okay. What about roller coasters? Do you get excited? Anybody a roller coaster enthusiast? Ooh, we got a few in here, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, maybe this one will help. What about shopping? You know, that new clothes smell, knickknacks, yeah. There's a few that get excited about that, and you could talk about that, right? It enters into your, don't put her hand down, it's okay. You could talk about that. You get excited about it, and you talk about it. You like to talk about hunting and fishing with your buddies. You like to talk about shopping. You like to talk about roller coasters. You talk about it. Well, the story of Antioch is there was these people in Jerusalem right after Jesus, right after Pentecost. They saw Stephen get stoned, so they flee. They go to Antioch. And they begin talking to other church people, other Jews, telling them what had happened. I imagine this conversation going something like, "We just got here from Jerusalem. It was crazy. You wouldn't believe what happened. Back in Jerusalem, we hung this guy, Jesus, on the cross." You heard about Jesus. He was the one going around causing all this trouble. "We hung him on the cross and we saw him get buried, but he came back to life." And he had these disciples that were really adamant about who him being the Messiah and how he changed their life and how he's going to change all our lives. But, you know, we really weren't paying that much attention to him. And they were all holed up in this room in Jerusalem, this upper room, and all of a sudden there was this wind and this loud noise, and they came out. We thought they were drunk, but one of them said, "It's only 9 o'clock, they're not drunk." But they started talking, and they started talking about Jesus and how he was alive and how he was still here and how he was present with us and how he's moving and how he changed their lives, and they were talking in these voices that weren't necessarily our language, but we understood them. Everybody there understood them. There were so many people there from all different places. They all understood them, even though they weren't from where we were from. But we were there, and one of them got stoned by this guy named Saul. He orchestrated it because he didn't like what they were saying. But I'm telling you, what I heard just changed my life. It was just amazing. It was, they were talking about this guy, and everything they said made sense, and he started affecting me, and I started feeling things, and I started getting to know him, and it changed me, and I met him, and he is alive. And when I saw Stephen got stoned, I kind of ran, and we ran over here, but I'm telling you, he's still here. He's still alive and he's still active. And this Holy Spirit that he promised that blew the windows open in that upper room, is still alive, and I have it, and he's living in me, and I just had to tell you about it. So that's kind of how I see the conversation going, right, when they got to Antioch. Maybe a little bit more Hebrew or Aramaic, but something to that effect, right? And I just picture the excitement in these people when they get to Antioch. But what's even funnier is they were talking to church people, but that really wasn't good enough. They started talking to other people. It says Greek-speaking Jews, but really they were speaking to everybody and the Gentiles. And Antioch was growing and becoming the most diverse church around. And the excitement in this church was just exploding. And everybody was living this life based on Jesus. And they were talking about it nonstop, living this just fullness. And all of a sudden, the disciples back in Jerusalem, which is a whole nother story, because in the story of Antioch, you know, you would think this massive church that's growing would be started by a disciple, right? By Peter or James or John. John's my favorite. But be started by one of these big disciples. But the disciples stayed back in Jerusalem. And the Bible says some people fled, right? Some people. Yeah, I mean, they were so important, they weren't even given a name in the Bible. They were just some people. But they were the ones that started this church. So you know, the head church back in Jerusalem says, hey, rookie, and calls Barnabas out, go check this out. So Barnabas goes down there and says, wow, this place is on fire. And he starts talking about, I mean, he gets excited, and he's, you know, he's full of the Holy Spirit with exceptional faith and sees God working in these everyday people. And he runs to tell Saul about it. He runs over to Tarsus to tell Saul about it. And I can only imagine the people's face. Wait, who did you say you were going to go get? Hold on. That's the reason we're here, is because Saul was there when they were stoning Stephen. That's the reason we ran. And now you want to go get him and bring him here? But I don't think they cared, because I think they were so excited about what God was doing in and around them that they knew that when Barnabas said Saul needs to be here, Saul is changed, Saul is Paul, and they knew the power of the transforming power of Christ that acted in their lives. They knew that it was okay, right? So Saul comes. Man, wouldn't it be incredible to be a part of that church? I mean, God is just moving and working and living and acting and transforming lives, and the people there just can't stop talking about him, talking about this great news of Jesus that changed their life. And they can't stop telling everyone around them about it, because let's face it, it's not just a story they're telling, it's who they are. It's who they are. That's why that's why this church is growing. It's because they have become Christians. They have become Christ-like. The people that see them start calling them Christians. You know, that's the first place it happens, because they are so in tune with Christ, so living their life devoted to Christ, that people around them can't help but to say, man, they are some Christians over there. You know, it's easy to live a life you're excited about. I get into being a police officer a lot, especially when stuff like last night happens. I mean, that is, yes, you know, it's right up there with the high-speed car chase, you know? I love it, and I can talk about it all day, and I get excited about it. But you know what else I get excited about? I get excited about the time when I can talk about with other people this time in my life that I had fled so far from God and had turned away from God and said, I'm just not going to think about him. And I knew that that's not where I was supposed to be. But then I heard this voice calling me back. And when I turned around and I said, okay, and I answered that call and I came back and he accepted me back, regardless of where I had been, regardless of what I'd gone through, regardless of the sins I had committed, he accepted me back and loved me still. I get excited about that, and I could talk about that too. And I can talk about how when I got back into church, how I felt like there was more I needed to do. That I needed to get more involved in church because just being at church wasn't enough. It didn't equal the excitement I had when I felt that calling back home, when I felt that acceptance for regardless of what I'd been through. I needed to do more. I needed to be more. And every time I did more, every time I went to teach Sunday school, I felt that much more excitement. Every time I took the church council chair position, which I ended up regretting. But every time I went to one of those meetings and I was a part of what the church was doing, I was excited about being used by God and taking part in the life he is orchestrating and correcting or and conducting and doing in this world, in this life around me. And then when he called me into ministry and I said, no, I will not. I refuse. And he said, you don't have a choice. And I said, oh, fine, whatever. And then I went and did it. I went and did it. And the excitement that I had, we have three Zerlot Road people here this morning who have never seen me in a robe, but they're here. And the excitement I had preaching there, and the excitement I have answering the call to come here, and the excitement I have with the Sunday school class about to start, the Young Family Sunday School class about to start here, and the Arise Initiative we got going on, and the movement that is happening here, and this sense of God is here, the excitement I have of taking part in that is incredible. It's life lived. It's life fully lived, enjoyed, experienced beyond life without Jesus. And there's a song that I like right now. It's called Oh God Forgive Us, and it's by King and Country. And it's kind of this slow, reverent song, but in the middle it has this part where it's not quite rap, but it's spoken word. And it's not this spoken word, you know. Some of y'all know that. Some of y'all got that, right? It is modern spoken word, but it's this line that says, what he says is we're too busy doing your work, but it's for you, but we forget it's for you. What he means is we get so busy doing the work God calls us to. We join the church, we get involved in the church, and then all of a sudden that becomes our life, and that work becomes the reason we go. That work becomes what we do. That work becomes who we are. But we forget that work is not for us. That work does not define us. That work is not why we're there. That work that we are called to is for Jesus. And it is for his purposes, for his glory, for his redeeming life that he has called us to. And when we forget that, we kind of lose that excitement. We lose that excitement. I mean, I know that all of you can remember that excitement you first met Jesus. That to be, put it Methodistly, my makeup words, to put it in the Methodist terminology, I know you remember when your heart was strangely warmed, right? I know you remember when that acceptance, that love took over, that grace fell on you, and you knew that you were claimed and that you became part of a family. And that excitement that comes with that excitement that changed your life. But when did that disappear? How did that disappear? What happened? Did we just get so busy trying to live this life and do the work that we think defines us as Christians, that we forgot that being Christ-like and doing the work God is doing with us, taking part in that life, doesn't define us, but it fills us with a joy, with a life that is fuller than we could ever imagine. Every time I join in the work God is doing, no matter how much it puts on me, I find more life. I find more joy. I find more excitement than anything else I've ever done. Than being on a foot chase and seeing a dog drag somebody out from underneath the staircase. I find more joy in joining in with what God is doing than anything else in my life. I find more excitement in Jesus because I know what he has done for me. I know how he has changed my life. I know how he has accepted me and redeemed me and cleaned me. And these people that went to Antioch knew what he had done for them. He knew the power of his changing love and changing grace. And I was told to wrap it up quick. I knew the power, they knew the power of who he is and what he was calling them to and what it meant to join in with what he was doing. And because of that, this church exploded. It grew, and so much happened that it even came to the point where the church sent somebody from Jerusalem who predicted a famine, and the church in Antioch said, oh, we need to take care of the home church. Let's give what you can give and send back to them. Isn't it amazing how God works? He takes this fear and this fleeing spirit and it sends the Christians away, and they're so changed by the life Jesus introduced them to that he recreates and creates a new and bigger and better and an amazing church that is able to go back to where they came from and continue to do the work God has called them to do. So, in summation, I said a lot of words. What are you excited about? Have you forgotten the excitement of what it means to live for Jesus? To join with him in this life that he has called you to so ingrain yourself in what he has done in you, what he is doing through you, that it becomes who you are. So much so that you're not just talking about it with people at church, but you're living it, and you can't help but to just... I don't know the word, sweat it out of you. You can't help but to just be something so in tune with Christ that people look at you and say, oh my God, he's such a Christian. And you say, yes, amen, hallelujah. Because you don't know what that man did for me, but I'll be happy to tell you about it. And you don't have to believe. You don't have to go to my church. You don't have to go to any church. This is who he is, and this is what he did for me. And watch that wildfire. Watch that wildfire here. Watch what happens if you stop going to other church people and you just start living your life focused on Christ, for Christ. If you quit doing his work and start doing it for him, watch what happens here. Watch the Spirit set your life on fire. Watch you get so excited You never know. You never know. And the best part about it is you're some people. And that's who he used in Antioch, right? Time's up. Everybody relax. Bow your head. Let's end in a prayer. Lord, you have done so much for us. Lord, you have called each of us. You have entered into each of our lives, and you have done incredible transformation. You have redeemed us. You have restored us. You have made us new, and you have filled us with your Spirit. But Lord, sometimes we forget how exciting it is to walk with you. How not only do you create new, but you fill us till our cups are overflowing. Lord, help us to refocus. Help us to remember that all the work we're doing, all the stuff that we are doing so that we can say we're Christians is not what defines us. But what defines us is that we are doing your work with you and that you are working through somebody like me, just some person. In Jesus' name, amen.